The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
The Christian life should not be up and down. The Christian life should be in and out. You meet some Christians, they're up one day, oh, the Lord's so good, good. Next day, I don't even know if there's a God. Come on, stop it.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us find consistency and fervency in our faith and helps us export it.
It should be in and out, in for worship, out for service. And you go out into that world to be a world changer.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Ups and downs are the enemy of Christian growth. It takes consistent forward momentum to make progress in our walk with God. And yet we see a number of our spiritual forefathers had ups and downs. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us the ups and downs in the life of David. He's known for two stories, his great victory over Goliath and his great fall with Bathsheba. Today, we'll learn from his mistakes and chart a course for consistency in our own walk of faith.
We're in two passages today, 2 Samuel 11 and Psalm 32. 2 Samuel 11 and Psalm 32. And the title of the message is The Ups and Downs and Ups of a World Changer. The character we're going to look at in this message, well, everyone knew his story. And it's interesting because in Hebrews 11, very little is said about him. In fact, his name is mentioned, but everyone knew the story of this man I'm talking about, King David. David was just an ordinary shepherd boy, but world changers are faithful in little things, so God gives them bigger things. Okay, what was David's responsibility? Watching his flock of sheep. I mean, think about this. You're David. You're out in the field tending your flock. You're called in. You meet the prophet Samuel. He pours oil on your head. He says you're the next king of Israel, and then you just go back to your flock of sheep. No crown was given to him. No stretched chariot with secret service protection was waiting. Just everything back to normal. So David's around, go back, watch the sheep. And he was a good shepherd. And I'll tell you what, any predator comes along, that predator's going down fast. David would take it out. He was very adept with that sling and that stone, and he would kill bears and lions, and he was faithful. So one day his dad says, son, I want you to go visit your brothers. They're out there in the military on the front lines facing off with the Philistines. The father says, take some bread and cheese to your brothers. So he shows up and his brothers see him, and Eliab, his older brother, who's still ticked off that he wasn't anointed king, says, oh, have you left your little flock of sheep to come see what the big boys are doing? And David's looking around going, who's that guy down there? And there down in the valley of Elah was this oversized man, 9 feet, 6 inches of solid muscle, covered in body armor with a massive sword, asking for someone to come fight him, saying, come fight me, and if I lose, we'll serve you. But if you lose, you serve us. And everyone was terrified, including David's brother, Eliab, including King Saul. David says, I'll take him on. You and what army? Oh, me and the Lord. Because I'm looking at that giant in the light of God. I'm not looking at God in the light of that giant. David picked up that stone, he got it slinging around, and he got the momentum and let it fly, and it hit the giant in the forehead, and Goliath came crashing to the ground. That was the rise of David. Now the fall of David, 2 Samuel 11. The following spring, the time of the year when kings go to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to destroy the Ammonites, and in the process, they laid siege to the city of Rabbah. David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, David got out of bed after taking a nap, and went for a stroll on the roof of his palace. He looked over that city and he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent for her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Then she returned home, and when Bathsheba discovered she was pregnant, she sent a message to inform David. We'll stop there. David was around 50 at this point. He had been ruling Israel for 20 years. He had gone from victory to victory. He had distinguished himself in so many ways. Man of God, skilled musician, gifted poet, writing psalms of praise, a wise and compassionate ruler, and a man of great courage. He was on an absolute roll, and that's when the devil hit him. He sees the beautiful Bathsheba bathing herself. And by the way, when the Bible says something, that a man was strong, that a woman was beautiful, the Bible does not exaggerate. This means that Bathsheba was incredibly attractive. Actually, the word used for her here, beautiful, translated beautiful, is from the Hebrew word babido foxido. You probably never heard that Hebrew word. Babido foxido, she was a babe, she was a fox. Can't make all that up. Okay, I think she was a babe, I think she was a fox, but there's no word that babido foxido. But you can use that name to name your child if you want. Maybe your dog, I'm not sure. You know what? Name a cat that. That's, it'd be good punishment for them. So he couldn't have avoided the first look. I mean, there it is, boom, okay. Walking around, kicking back, filled with lust. There's the beautiful Bathsheba. It's usually not the first look that gets us into trouble, it's a second look, right? You know what I'm talking about? You look, you, huh? Right? David's first look was probably a really long one, drinking it in. Oh, my. Oh, okay, now look, he should have just, Lord, I wish I hadn't seen her. She is beautiful, but just give me strength right now, and I'm going to go write a new psalm or something. I take a cold shower and stop looking in that direction. Maybe put a wall up there. I don't know what. No, but he immediately acts on it. Who is that woman? So one of his servants comes up, verse 3. She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Man, you got to give this servant credit. He knew exactly what was going on with David. He knew David was a womanizer. And he knew what David saw. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, she's married and you're married. So forget about it. Yeah, whatever. Bring her up here right now. He gave the order. And now he's in a mess of a situation. But, okay, don't do it. He does it. Roadblock number one. He goes for it. And now, of course, Bathsheba lets him know that she's pregnant. Roadblock number two. Now, you've already done it. Repent. Maybe tell Uriah what you've done. Confess to Bathsheba, maybe the kingdom, you know. But he didn't do that. I mean, he didn't call, you know, the press corps of Israel and say, I didn't have sex with that woman. That's a wrong story. I got confused. Okay. He wasn't coming clean. Instead of just saying, all right, Lord, I sinned. I'm sorry. No, he has an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll bring Uriah back from the battle. He'll go spend the night with his wife and he'll think it's his kid, not mine. So he gives the order to bring Uriah back. Uriah comes back. He's sent to his home, but he's such a courageous guy. He can't bear the thought of having this wonderful luxury of being with his wife while his fellow soldiers are still in the front lines of the battle. So he sleeps outside of his house the first night. David thinks, oh, great, I have some do-gooder. He gets him drunk. Sends him home. Still, Uriah will not sleep with his wife. Another roadblock. But David won't give up. He says to his general, send a charge against the enemy and have everyone fall back and leave Uriah by himself. Which happens, and Uriah is killed in battle. The word comes back, Uriah is dead. Yes. Okay, I'm going to marry Bathsheba. No one will ever know. Ah, the Lord knew. And the Bible tells us that our sin will find us out. And we read here that this thing that he had done displeased the Lord. 2 Samuel 11:27. Okay, man, David is messing up so bad. You're saying, wait, he's a world changer? This is horrible. I know. But you know, here's why he was still a man after God's heart. Despite this, here's why. Because he was miserable. And he did repent. Should have done it sooner, but he did repent. See, a person who really isn't a man or a woman of God will live in sin without guilt, and they won't repent. A person who is really a man or woman of God will live in guilt when they're sinning, and they will eventually get right with God. And that's who David was. He was still the man after the heart of God.
So what happened after David repented? And what does that mean for us today? Pastor Greg answers that as he comes back to his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, inviting you to join me every weekend for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a church service, it's a worship service, it's a Bible study, and it's wherever you want it to be. In your home, in your car, sitting on a beach, walking down the street, watching it on your phone, wherever you are, you can take it with you and be ministered to every weekend. Join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, as Pastor Greg continues his message now, the ups and downs and ups of a world changer, we'll pick up the story just after David's fall, sinning with Bathsheba.
Now it's time for his comeback. We've seen his rise, his fall, now the comeback of a world changer. Go to Psalm 32. I had you turn there as well. Psalm 32. And he wrote this in the aftermath of being confronted by God. And he says, oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable and groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Selah. By the way, the word Selah means pause and think about it. So if this were a song, it would be like an instrumental break. And the point of the Selah, or the musical interlude, was to contemplate what had just been said. So David's saying, think about this, ponder it. This is how miserable I was, Selah. Finally, I confessed my sins to the Lord. I stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. Psalm 32 describes the futility and misery of sin. It is unconfessed. For 12 months, David fought the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He was not experiencing God's presence as he had before. Was he still in a relationship with God? Yes. Was he in fellowship with God? No. When your child disobeys you and disappoints you, are they still your child? Yes, they are. Are they in a good relationship with you at the moment? Probably not. And that's where David was at. But when he was confronted, he repented. And you know what's interesting? How the Lord dispatches a prophet. This time it's the prophet Nathan. And the Lord waited until David was ready to come clean. So Nathan wants an appointment. He gets one immediately. That's what happens when you're a prophet. Shows up and says, sire, I have a story to tell you. Something going on in the kingdom you need to be aware of. Okay, speak on. All right, there's this guy. He's very poor. He has one little baby lamb. He loves the lamb. The lamb eats off his plate. It sits at the table. It's like a family pet. He loves this lamb like a daughter. Anyway, there's this other guy. He's really rich. He has a bunch of sheep, a bunch of cattle. So this other guy has a friend come into town to visit him who wants to have dinner. And so instead of slaying one of his many sheep, he kills the guy's lamb who has one little baby lamb. What should be done to a man that would do that? David's blood is beginning to boil. He's gripping his throne, and he says he should restore four times what he's taken, and he should be put to death. What kind of overkill? I mean, it's bad, but death? Put him to death! Nathan points his finger in David's face and says, you are the man. You the man. You the man, man. I just described you. That didn't even happen. You're like the guy who had the many sheep and the many cattle, and you took Uriah's wife, and then you had him killed. So now David has sinned, and he's committed adultery, and he's effectively committed murder. But then I love what happens there. It says that David repented of his sin. Okay, so the prophet said, the sword will never depart from your house. God forgave David, but he still faced repercussions for his sin. So know this, if I go out and rob a bank this afternoon, you read about it in your Twitter feed, Pastor Greg robs bank. I won't be preaching the next Sunday. Now, if I repent of my sin, will God forgive me? Yes, but I'm going to jail and probably to prison, all right? So if you go out and you commit a sin, I'm not going to rob a bank, I promise. But if you go out and commit a sin and you say, God, forgive me, he will forgive you. You'll be restored to immediate fellowship with him again, but you could still face some of the repercussions of your sin. In David's case, he saw it played out in the lives of his children. His sons and daughters behaved badly. They rebelled against him and they did some of the very things that he himself did. So he lost a lot of moral authority there. But having said that, he was forgiven by God and he made his way into the messianic line. He got himself in the Christmas story. Okay, let's test your Bible knowledge. Where was Jesus born? Very good. Bethlehem. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Because that's where David lived. And Christ was from the root and offspring of David, you see, both through Mary and Joseph. So our Lord was born there in Bethlehem because this is the hometown of David. So David's in the most exclusive genealogy in human history. And guess who else made it into that genealogy? Bathsheba. What? How did she get in there? Well, that's called the grace of God, isn't it? How did I get my sin forgiven? God's grace was extended to me. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it, but the Lord gave it to us freely. And for that, we say, Lord, thank you. It's an amazing thing. So God gives second chances. Yeah, David fell. He fell big, but he came back and he came back strong. And that's what we want to do. We want to admit our sin to God. See, here's the problem. We have ups and downs in our life. I've called this message the ups and the downs and the ups of a world changer. The Christian life should not be up and down. The Christian life should be in and out. I know some of the guys are thinking, In-N-Out Burger. No, I don't mean In-N-Out Burger. It should be in and out, not up and down. You meet some Christians, they're up one day, oh, the Lord's so good, good. Next day, I don't even know if there's a God. I don't. Next day, I'm great, serving God. Next day is, come on, stop it. It's not up and down, it's in and out. You say, what do you mean in and out? In for worship, out for service. Jesus said in John 10, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. So we're in for worship. Here we are today. We're getting refueled. We're getting fed. We're getting perspective. We're worshiping. We're serving. We're giving. That's coming in. Now we go out. Listen, the holiest moment of this church service is when you walk out those doors and you go out into that world to be a world changer. And the only way you're going to be a world changer is if your world is changed first. And I wonder if there's some of you here today who don't even have a relationship with God yet. I mentioned that statement by Jesus where he said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Listen, there's only one way into a relationship with God. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and that is the road through Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You say, well, that seems so narrow. Yeah, it's narrow. It's a narrow road that leads to life. And you know what? Few there are that find it. That's what Jesus said. But listen, the reason Jesus is the only way to the Father is Jesus was God walking among us, and he was the only one qualified to die for us on the cross. And that's what he did. He died in our place and took all of our sins upon himself. And that's why today I don't have to stand here facing the consequences of my sin, because Jesus died for me and he died for you. And he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And he's with us here right now. And he's ready to come into your life if you'd like him to. David could have lived in sin. David could have ended in sin. But he came to the Lord. He came back to the Lord, I should say, in his case. But you can be forgiven of your sin. And the Bible says if you will confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But listen to this. God cannot forgive the sin that we will not confess. So you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. David had to say, I'm sorry, God. And you have to say, Jesus, come into my life. And he'll do that for you today. And you can leave here today knowing your life is right with God. And there might be some of you that have been flirting with the sin we've been talking about, sexual sin. It might be something else. But whatever it is, you need to get right with God. You need to repent. I encourage you to do that today as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Now help us respond. And I pray for any that are here or are watching that do not know you in a personal way. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their sin and bring them to yourself now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
An important closing prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie. And if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. And to hear any part of this study again, you can listen online at harvest.org. If you want, you can download an MP3 for later, or order a CD to be sent right to your home. Again, go to harvest.org. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime 24/7, again at 1-800-821-3300. The title of the message is The Ups and Downs and Ups of a World Changer. And then, Pastor Greg, over to you.
Hey, everybody. I'm in studio with our special guest, Sally Lloyd-Jones, and my wife, Kathy, and we're talking about an incredible resource that we're offering this month called the Jesus Storybook Bible Christmas Collection. It's a collection of stories, songs, and reflections for the Advent season. Now, you may be aware of the Jesus Storybook Bible. If you aren't, you ought to have a copy. It's amazing. But now she has taken that approach, working with the same artist, Jago, and with some special interactive features, including the voice of the amazing actor David Suchet.
Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people, just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do?
In addition to that, there are some songs, some Christmas songs included. And Sally, what songs did you include as a part of this project, and why did you choose those in particular?
We chose some favorite carols that everyone would know. And then we chose them specially because there would be an interesting fact behind them that would add to the devotional aspect of singing the song. So I'm not going to give them away because I think people will really enjoy. I really enjoyed finding these facts out, but they're really well-known carols. And
is one of them, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
No, unfortunately, we had to cut that one. Oh,
that's Kathy's favorite song.
Oh, no.
She sings it all Christmas long. It drives us all crazy.
Yeah.
Sally, you know better than that. Right?
I do. But I know. I like that, though. I like that idea.
So if you want to find out what these mysterious songs are that Sally Lloyd-Jones has selected, then you need to order your copy of the Jesus Storybook Bible, A Christmas Collection. This is very special. And if you were to go and purchase this online at a place like Amazon or in a store, you'd pay quite a bit of money for it, because of the fact that it's hardcover, it's beautifully glossy paper, amazing illustrations, interactive features, etc. But we're offering it to you this month for your gift of any size.
Yeah, that's right. We want you to have this resource for the holidays. And we really appreciate your support that helps these studies continue to come your way. As Pastor Greg has said recently, we've seen more than 100,000 professions of faith this year. And we're so thankful for listener support that helped make that possible. And if you can help us continue to reach out by making a donation right now, we'll thank you with the Jesus Storybook Bible, a Christmas collection. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us anytime, day or night, at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, no doubt somebody listening, they realize they need the kind of personal relationship with Jesus you were talking about today, and they need to take that next step.
Yeah.
What would you say to that individual?
I would say the time to take it is right now. Don't hesitate. Don't say, I'll do it another time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you would like to ask Christ to come into your life as your Savior and your Lord, I would ask you to stop what you're doing and pray with me. And as you pray this prayer after me, this is a prayer of asking Christ to come into your life. So pray this with me now. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I know that I've broken your commandments, and I'm sorry for it. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross in my place. Now, Lord, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, you may have felt something wonderful happen. Then again, you may have felt nothing. But I want you to know on the authority of God's word, if you meant that prayer from your heart, God has forgiven you. For he promises, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, please, let us send you some free materials that will encourage you in your spiritual growth.
Yeah, we'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet to help you get started as a Christian. Just get in touch and let us know you prayed along with Pastor Greg today. You can call us at 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime 24 hours a day at 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click on Know God. Ever wonder how long your life will last? Well, Pastor Greg says your life will last exactly as long as God planned it from the very beginning. More on that as Pastor Greg continues his World Changer series next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.